First, we hate to be the bearers of bad news, but if you fly for work or for pleasure, it's likely going to get less pleasant in the coming years.
And we're not talking about smaller seats, longer lines, or higher prices, although those might happen too. It turns out that climate change and the most heavily traveled air routes will combine to create a lot more turbulence over the next few decades.
Sarah Sloat is a writer based in Brooklyn, and she took a look at the science behind this for Inverse.com. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So we talk about turbulence a lot, but give us a brief overview about what causes turbulence.
Yeah, so there's different types of turbulence. There's turbulence from events like storms and cold weather, which pilots can usually anticipate because they can either see the weather coming towards them or weather events show up on a radar suite. But then there is also clean air turbulence, also known as CAT. And that's high altitude bumpiness caused by strong vertical wind shear in regions without cloudiness. And because there's no clouds, you can't be detected visually or by a conventional weather radar. So basically, there's a disruption to the smooth horizontal flow of the air, which happens in the currents of an unstable atmosphere. And that's the sort of clean air turbulence is the sort of turbulence that would emerge from climate change.
And so how is climate change exacerbating this?
Yeah, so essentially increased carbon dioxide causes spikes in air turbulence because they change the temperature of the air, which in turn changes air currents. So this is an example of how impacts of climate change can be felt through the circulation of our atmosphere, not just through increases in surface temperature.
And so the research that you looked at is considered current generation. It's a current generation climate model. For those who are unfamiliar, what is that exactly?
Yeah, so this climate model was created by scientists at the University of Reading who study meteorology, and it was just published in a journal called the Geophysical Research Letters. And essentially, this is a supercomputer simulation that's the first ever really global projection of in-flight bumpiness at this large scale. And ultimately, what they found through this model, which they plugged in weather information from different geographic regions and turbulent strength categories and different seasons, they ultimately revealed that clean air turbulence will triple from its current frequency sometime between 2050 and 2080.
So what will that, so far, crystal ball methods, models, stuff like that, what could that look like for, people who are traveling or, airline industries as they, it's only 2017, but 2050 is really not that far away. What will this, be like for the industry?
Yeah, clean air turbulence doesn't pose a major danger to flights, but it definitely is responsible for hundreds of passenger injuries every year. It can create a tricky situation for flight attendants who are standing up. Basically, it's just a lot more uncomfortable, and it's a very common cause of serious injuries to flight attendants. And in the press release from the University of Reading, they also note that turbulence is thought to cost the United States air carriers up to $200 billion annually. So it's definitely something to be thinking about in terms of being ready for, because we currently don't have technology that can sort out whether there is going to be clean air turbulence on the horizon.
I'd like to get back to that technology in just a moment, but I want to remind our listeners that we are speaking with Sarah Sloat. She is a writer based in Brooklyn, and she has been writing about how climate change could potentially severely impact air travel in the future, namely through turbulence. And, we've been talking about this clean air turbulence. Pilots can't see it. And you talked about a little bit about, potential technology. Do you know where we are right now with those sort of advancements or where they could go?
This study is kind of a call to arms, essentially, for that sort of technology. It highlights the need to improve turbulence forecasts, which then can in turn reduce the risk of injuries to passengers and lower the cost of turbulence to airlines. At the moment, basically, pilots hear about turbulence from reports from air traffic control. In terms of what else could be done to mitigate the effects, it comes down to lessening the amount of CO2 that goes into our atmosphere. Right now, there's various stages of carbon negative technologies that could reduce that, but there's no mainstreaming of them. It's also being conscious about the impact of your carbon footprint. I mean, for example, if you take a round trip flight between New York and California, that's about 20% of the greenhouse gas that your car emits for the entire year. And it's estimated that the aviation industry accounts for about 11% of transportation-related emissions in the U.S. So we as humans have a power to reduce our carbon footprint, which in terms will help us in a lot of ways, one of which is reducing turbulence.
Sure. And, you know, the airline industry, I mean, it's a huge industry. The likelihood it's going anywhere soon is that's unlikely to happen. It's just pragmatically not going to happen. And you just mentioned the routes between California and New York. Is this something specific to high travel areas, or is this going to have a pretty big worldwide impact?
Yeah, so it's going to have a worldwide impact. In the model, they found that the largest increases were in the international airspace and the busiest parts of transportation across the globe. Basically, that's because more planes means more warming of the atmosphere. The model found that, for example, between 2050 and 2080, that clean air turbulence should increase by 180, become 180% more common across the North Atlantic, 110% more common across North America, and 160% more common over Europe.
And, you know, airline travel already is maybe not the most comfortable way to travel. I don't know about you. I'm 5'11". It's already really, really difficult to get on a plane. You know, can you break it down for just average listeners, you know, what 2050 could feel like in the air for them?
Yeah, I mean, the strengthening of wind instabilities at high altitudes because of clean air turbulence means that pockets are of rough air, which is the turbulence, is stronger and more frequently. So, you know, like if you're on a flight, ideally turbulence is something that happens only once out of every 10 flights or at a lower frequency. And this is basically saying that, you know, we're going to experience a lot more of it. An earlier study from the University of Reading that only looked at the airspace above North America found that by the middle of this century, if there's no efforts to reduce atmospheric concentrations of carbon dioxide, the volume of light turbulence, which is less impactful than the CAT that we were talking about earlier, is still going to increase about by 59%. So it means that you are still safe on your flight, but you certainly are going to be uncomfortable with all the bumpiness.
So are there, I mean, there are ways to mitigate this, it sounds like, but do you see any push so far to make sure that, you know, this issue is mitigated?
I mean, I think overall the study, you know, the study is part of a longstanding research about how the relationship between climate change and carbon dioxide, but it's still very much in the theoretical model point. And ideally, the more people hear about the science, the more there will be a rallying call for the sort of technology that could help. But I think that when it comes to an individual level, it really comes back down to each doing your own part to like help reduce carbon negative atmospheres.
And do you have any future advice for air travelers, either in terms of being prepared for these flights or finding alternative, you know, ways to travel?
Yeah, I mean, I think going to the point of what you could do to help, how if you're a frequent flyer who wants to not experience so much turbulence, I mean, flying nonstop is more beneficial than having layovers. According to this 2010 report, about 25% of airplane emissions come from landing and taking off. And so flights that are just one way are a lot more beneficial to the eventual amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. But besides that, I wish I had better advice. I don't like turbulence either.
Sure. I mean, you're not a psychic. There's no way to really know. But this is a really good way to at least prepare and to keep in mind as, you know, you're going on to whatever website you get your tickets on and, you know, maybe plan a trip, maybe just a state away. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. My pleasure.
Sarah Sloat is a writer based in Brooklyn. She writes for Inverse.com and joined us today to talk about why air travel might get significantly less comfortable in the coming years.